All right, good morning. Well, I finally get to stand up here and look at you from this direction. It's beautiful. And for all of us that are joining throughout the country on our social media, it's wonderful that you've joined us. It's a pleasure to be here. If you haven't met me, I haven't met you yet. I'm Charles Mallory. The church hired me as of July the 1st, entrusting me with being the assistant. I'm perfectly fine with that. I love being of service and help, and to partner with such a senior leader as Brother Jim. It's been a blessing for the last couple of weeks to join with him and learn more about the ministry here in Motley and around the area. So we're glad that we're here. And I thought I'd start off a little light tonight or today and just teach you about this concept called the art of subtraction. And will empower you and encourage you, but yet challenge you a little bit. I'm going to start out a little easy, but I'm still going to challenge you. We leave here with no excuses today, okay? Is that good? So as we begin to do that, we'll start with some prayer, lifting up Jim and his family, lift up this church, this community. Our leader, our president's out of the country, representing us, for his safety, for our local leadership, for everyone on the prayer list. I hope you're taking that home and praying for these names, the families, and the livelihoods of those that are behind each and every person. So let us pray. Our loving Father, righteous God, we are so thankful that we can come before you today. We love you, we serve you, we adore you. Your holiness surrounds us each and every day. The wind that blows through the trees, the birds that sing, the sun that shines, the fragrance of the blooming lilies and flowers amongst us. The fragrance reminds us that you are holy and that you are righteous and that we are yours, that you love us beyond measure. It does blow us away at times to think how much you do love us. So we want to be mindful that we want to live holy and be your children and tell others about the love that you have given to us so that those that are hurting, those that are desperate, and those that have not yet seen the way, that we can introduce them to the love of your Son, Jesus, that they too are of priceless worth, of value, and that we can all be together as one family through the shed blood of Jesus and the salvation he offers to us. So we thank you for that. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd be with Jim, Sherry, the family, Ken, everyone. We just want to lift up a hedge of protection of your mighty power around them, that you will protect them, bring healing, bring encouragement, bring the angels that will minister to them and inspire their spirits and their hearts. Give them great rest in this time off, that they may be centered on you and go even deeper than they have before, that they may bask in your presence and you may surround them with your love. For those that are on our prayer list, for those that are in need, if there's any way we can help, lay that on our hearts. For those that require physicians, exams, medication, or just need a miracle, that is what we ask. You'll bring those that are in need and can bring these things. Bring them to them and around them and anoint them with this help. For our day and for our journey ahead, may we continue to be who we are supposed to be, your children, your ambassadors, an example to this world, what it's like to be loved by you as we love those you bring into our life. For this hour, for this day, we give you thanks and praise in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. I thought maybe one of the best ways to start off would just be to extend out a little bit on what Jim taught last week. If you remember, he challenged us, don't store up a bunch of stuff here on earth, but also to be more mindful of laying up treasures in heaven. Well, he was challenging us, well, what exactly does that look like? Well, it's people. People is what goes into eternity. All our stuff stays here. It's auctioned off. Let's just say it like it is. It's pillaged somehow with all the family members getting what they want. It doesn't leave this place. So we invest in people, which is most important. We are treasures. We are treasures because God made us in His image. And one of the ways to do that is to do what you know to do, to be empowered, to go forth in ministry into all the world. So it's called the Art of Subtraction. One little simple verse, you've heard it before. It's in Mark chapter 9, verse 41. We'll put that on the board. As they say, it's not rocket science, is it? It's pretty simple. If anyone will give you even just a cup of water because you belong to the Messiah, I tell you the truth, that person will be rewarded. So you're thinking, where are you going to get a big message out of a cup of water? Well, it's the art of subtraction. It's very unique, and I hope that you'll incorporate it and give it a try. Because when you think of subtraction, I can almost guarantee what's coming to mind. Mathematical formula, you take something away, you lose something, something's taken back, something's removed. Well, I'd say you're on the right track, at least from a worldly standpoint. The world would naturally associate the word subtraction with negative things, such as losing or having things taken away. But I wonder if we as Christians could consider today thinking of the word subtraction as something very powerful. I mean, actually very positive, not only for our vocabulary, but also to use this in the form of ministry towards our gifts, our talents that God has given to us. I got this concept. It's not mine. I'm just passing it on to you. It's from a book I read a ways back concerning Mother Teresa. I think many of you know who she is, from Calcutta. In regards to her ministry, as you know, she was infamous for helping those who were really poor, hurting, in poverty, pain, death on a daily basis. There was a moment in her time where she was being followed by some media and some reporters, and one such reporter kind of challenged her a little bit and said, you know, Mother Teresa, how in the world can you just not be overwhelmed? I mean, my goodness, there's obviously so much more out there. There's more people than you could ever possibly help in your lifetime. I think what they were trying to get at is, Mother Teresa, you're just scratching the surface. You know, you're not even making a dent in the overall world population's misery and pain. And in other words, I think just kind of belittling a little bit of what she was doing. And yes, it was obvious, isn't it? Mother Teresa knew that. It's obvious the need was greater than her ability to fix everything. She wasn't going to be able to eradicate everything from the world with what she was doing. But it was her response to that. It was her response to that reporter. She said, you know, if you look at it that way, that I'm just scratching the surface, I'm just not even making a dent in the overall population, she said, you're just applying the wrong math. Which made him a little puzzled. Yes, you're using the wrong math. Mother Teresa began to explain that the choice she used to make It's called the art of subtraction. For example, every time she loved and cared for a destitute and dying person, every time she rescued a girl from prostitution, every time she comforted a hurting soul, she was subtracting. She was taking away from the pain, the misery, and the hopelessness, and adding to the world hope, peace, love, and comfort through Jesus Christ. That's the same attitude I believe we learned last week from Pastor Jim's message, to store up our treasures in heaven. We are to be busy-er, I would say. Busy-er investing into people, investing into the things that really matter. Jim said simply, let's make a difference. And that's how you do it. Investing more into people instead of things. So I want to encourage you, maybe challenge you a little bit this week to adopt the same principle this morning, because we see it, don't we? And I think it's just like Mother Teresa. Yeah, we know it. We get it. There's overwhelming needs. And yes, we may not be able to meet them all, but we can still do something, can't we? We still have needs just right here in our own town, in our county, in our state, in our country, in our world. But despite the overwhelming needs that are out there, the truth still stands. We can still do something. We can lovingly and obediently just chip away at each need, one by one, piece by piece, slowly but surely, day by day. We can bring, just like Mother Teresa did, just some hope, some words of encouragement. Whatever the thing may be that God has called you to do, you can do that to bring the redeeming power of Jesus into the life of that person that you're encountering. I believe that's the power of this little verse, just a cup of water. A cup of water, illustrating a point that it is absolutely, positively impossible. Impossible to render any act of service towards another person where it would be overlooked or considered insignificant in the eyes of God. Our passage today says that even something as simple as giving someone who is thirsty a bottle of water, a cup of cold water, would provide a significant insight into the love of God. It's just simply a stamp of confirmation to us that, you know, there really is no trivial or unimportant service to God when it's done in obedience and in the love of God. I think this revelation into a seemingly small act of hospitality becomes a generous proportion of not only who we are, but it's a big signal to the world who we're serving. It sends a very distinct message. Whatever it is we do in the name of Christ, we do so because we belong to Christ. Mark sends us a very strong message. That's the imagery of a cup of cold water, a simple, everyday act of hospitality. That's all it is. But it's a great emphasis. It's a huge emphasis that we have to be completely satisfied with doing anything we are asked to do. Now, that's where the challenge comes, because for some of us, we want to do something that's kind of significant, important to the world in the world's eyes. But here's the key. You have to be satisfied with being able to do whatever it is you're asked to do. We render service, even if what you do, now hear me, is considered by the world. I'm saying the world. Even if the world considers what you do to be insignificant, they may kind of brush it off like, it's like, why are you wasting your time doing something like that? That's the world talking. When God lays something on our hearts, we give, we serve, We volunteer, we donate, we visit, whatever it is, fill in the blank, you do so obediently, all because we know we're not only representing Jesus Christ to these people we're serving, but it's like, literally, we are doing this for Jesus Christ personally to himself. Remember what Jim told us last week, Matthew 25. Very simple from the Sermon on the Mount. Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And then the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. So I'll stop there for a little bit because I realize, you know, what the world's going to say about that. You see, the world has a totally different mindset than what the Bible teaches and what God teaches. You see, the world's going to look at things and say that the only things really worthy of being noticed or of note are those programs, those things that you can do that produce amazing, spectacular, and mind-blowing results. And that's true because that's the world. You see, they have to be wowed. That's why we have America's Got Talent and The Voice and American Idol, because we have to just brain dump and just be wowed and blown away by things of the world. The world needs a wow factor. They need to be dazzled and blown away. But for us, we need to be more content with doing whatever it is we've been asked to do. So I get a little more serious in this point because I just really hope, it's my prayer, that we would never as Christians ever walk away from an opportunity to serve or shy away from helping someone simply because what's been needed at the moment isn't going to gain us something. It's not going to be something in our favor, or it's not going to gain us recognition, or we're not going to get our name in the paper or our picture in the newsletter for doing something. Because the question as Christians, as much as we may want to argue, it's just simply this. It's not what's in it for me. It's not, what am I going to get from this? What am I getting out of this for doing these things you're asking me to do? You see, those things should be just erased immediately. Don't even let that get into your head. That's not of Christ. The question is, how can I help? Where can I be put to use? Where would you like me to help? Where can I be of service? Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4 says, let nothing, and there's your key, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. It's not about us, is it? We need to get out of the way a lot and just serve in the love of Christ. And building on that, it is also my prayer that you, I would sincerely hope, how I would hope that you would never, ever shy away from helping or ever walk away from an opportunity because you thought so little of yourself or you belittled your own abilities and talents. It amazes me how many people have not sung, taught, served, all because of, I can't do this, or I'm not good at that, this is too hard, this is beyond me. So before I go forward and read this next passage, I'm just going to say a little disclaimer. Once I read this, you're out of excuses. That's just all there is to it. No more legs to stand on. So if you want me to read this, we can stop here and we can sing the closing hymn. Because once I read this, it's me included. Have you ever heard that? Once I point at you, how many fingers, three, are pointing right back at me. So it means as much to me as to you. So write it down, if you will. Challenge you to work on memorizing it just this week. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 to 11. No more excuses. No more excuses. You ready? From the New Living Translation. God has. I emphasize has, not will, is going to, is preparing. No, God has. God has given each of you a gift. A gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Now underline this part. Use them well. That's the next part. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have a gift of speaking? Well, then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Well, then do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Here's the kit. This is the equals in the multiplication. Everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. You've got the ability. Sometimes we spend too much time in the excuses. We've got the ability. We've got the talents and the gifts to do what God's called you to do. So hear the good news today. Anything you're required or asked to do, serve with a sincere heart that's in obedience to God, it's accepted. Period. If God's called you to do it, he's completely satisfied, loves you like crazy that you did what you were supposed to do. No matter how small, how significant, insignificant, or even the world may say, you're wasting your time on that little thing, you're wasting your time on that little, all that little stuff. Who cares what the world says? If you're doing it for the word, you're doing it for the Lord, you're doing it with a sincere heart that you've been called to do that, that's all you're required to do. Your efforts will not be judged. What you do will never be compared against someone else's service. And the big one for me that I had to get kind of grasped into my mind, results. It doesn't matter what results you get. All you're called to do is to be obedient and do what you're supposed to do. So can I get a big heavy burden off your back this morning? Would you like to walk out of here with a little less weight on your shoulders? Grasp this concept. The results, that was never your responsibility in the first place. We get so caught up in, oh my gosh, only four people came to my prayer meeting. Oh my goodness, we only have this many people coming. I had to challenge a boss once. He wanted to just totally get rid of a contemporary service because only 30 people were coming. It's not about the results. That's not your responsibility. You're just to be obedient to what God calls you to do and do it with the love of Christ in your heart. We serve simply because we have been presented the opportunity. We serve because we've been given the ability, the gifts, and the talents to do that particular task. So we do what we're supposed to do. We respond. And we go do what we're supposed to do, right? Romans 12:13. That couldn't be more clear. It's another good one to write down. Again, we walk out of here with no excuses, right? Romans 12:13. It says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always, always, not sometimes or whenever you feel like it. No, always, always be ready and eager to practice hospitality. So when we walk out of here today, it's like having the same attitude of Mother Teresa. That mathematical formula, art of subtraction. We keep that in mind. What we're going to do, every little act of kindness, every rendering of service subtracts from the ills and the hopelessness of this world and gives them the love of Christ, that there is hope. There is a brighter future. There is a tomorrow. I can even get through the rest of this day simply because I know God loves me, because he sent you here to tell me that. You didn't say it with words, but I sure appreciate what you did to help me out this afternoon. As it's been said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Be ever mindful. Think eternity. Get out of our calendar, January, February, March, April, May, 24 hours, day, night, a.m., p.m. God doesn't operate like that. He operates on eternity. Everything points to the culmination of his coming kingdom. When the trumpet sounds and we all head north. So keep the eternal perspective in mind. Be ever mindful of the end results that does culminate when Jesus Christ returns. It's all about the kingdom. All this stuff on earth is going to pass away. It'll mean nothing. It'll be burned up and gone. All that's left is eternity. Never forget that, so that all that you do, everything you say, how you act, how you respond to all of your environment, all of it adds value of some degree. It subtracts from what is negative. It takes away from all the ugliness and hate that's out there today. And by doing that, what you're doing is you're revealing the true love of Christ to others. But most importantly, it blows away GPS. It's better than a Rand McNally, better than an Atlas. You're giving true directions of how to walk into the presence of Christ and experience the love of God that helps them to realize this is the real deal. He does love me. Regardless of my past, regardless of my circumstances, he truly does love me. So don't ever underestimate what you can do. Please don't belittle yourself. Don't talk bad about your talents and gifts and your abilities. Don't ever underestimate the power of just being able to do a little. Just a little bit. A cup of water, a bottle of water to someone. Remember, there's no trivial, there's no unimportant things that you can do for God. Jesus made it very clear that if you can just give so much as water to somebody who's thirsty, that's the same as offering a powerful expression of love to God. So what we do is we just keep going out and making a difference. If all you can do is just chip away at it, don't look at the big picture. Just take each day, each hour at a time, chipping away here, chipping away there, piece by piece, day by day, hour by hour, event by event, whatever the Lord leads you to do, just do it, leave the results to him, and then when you see the culmination, the fruit of what you do, even more praise can go to God for his wonderfulness. So keep making that difference. Master that art of subtraction. Do good acts of service. Performing those humble acts of compassion. And then passionately serve. Passionately serve wherever. Wherever the need presents itself, no matter how inconvenient, what time of day it may be, answer the call. So that God's power that works through you can subtract from all the ills of this world, takes away a little more hate, a little more dissatisfaction and grumpiness from this world, because it sure needs subtracting. And we've got what it takes. We've got the answer. So go out this week into the brokenness of this world, add a little redeeming hope found only through Jesus Christ. We can do that much, right? Amen. Subtraction. Go out and make a difference. Just remember, no more excuses. Please don't belittle yourself. Satan wants to stop you so desperately. He's willing to give you all kinds of excuses not to do things. If you're able to teach, help the kids out. If you've got a thought in your heart that you want to help the church, but you might say, well, they don't have that. Well, guess what's getting ready to start? Some of the best ideas never get going, all because it's never said or offered. So be on your knees this week and just ask God, where can I, what can I do? Don't downplay the small things. A kind word, holding a door open, helping the children, checking on a loved one, just biting the bullet, go across the street and meet your neighbor, find out who they are. Anything you can do. Eternity's on the line. Because I'll tell you, I've said this many times, you'll probably hear it a few times from me. Don't be stingy with Jesus. Share him. As they said, the gospel is not to be hoarded. It's to be heralded. Give it away and help others to receive Christ and his redeeming love. Amen. Father, we're grateful for this time that you have given to us. We know that we have many things that do challenge us. It's not as easy as I made it sound today. We have commitments, a job to do. We got work. We've got commitments that our children, to ensure their education, to ensure their skills. And so, Father, in the midst of busyness, there's still time for you. And in those moments that you provide for us, more than anything, give us the courage, Holy Spirit, to respond and to do what it was we were supposed to do. Give us courage, give us strength, but mostly give us power to overcome any fear that may try to keep us quiet or to discourage us to think that we're not capable of doing it. Empower us to have victory this week in one or two things, and may it give you glory. For we do ask in Jesus' name, amen.